God's creative works is my subject. For our lesson from today, we're going to read from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 10, where we read, "For we are the workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Our text is one of a number of lovely scriptures which show that the church of this present gospel age is, from God's viewpoint, a new creation. And that's quite a statement, brethren. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. To become a member of the glorified church or bride of Christ, we'll have to undergo a change of nature." It states in 2 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 and 54. And that's an important point. To be of the new creation, it's going to take a change. And I would like to try to emphasize into to your, in your hearts and your mind, of what that means in your personal individual life. What that means to become a new creation, a new creature. We are all right now human beings. But there has to be a change transpire. And that change to become a new creation, a new creature. And when you realize the magnitude of that statement, what does that mean? Right now you're a human being. You're a Bible student, yes. You're striving to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, yes. But you're not a new creation yet. You're not a new creature yet. And I would like to emphasize our life on that point. Therefore, the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature." You know, the magnitude of this just hit me a couple days ago. What does that mean? You're a new creature. To become a member of the glorified church, the bride of Christ, he will have to undergo a change of nature. It states in 2 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 and 54, "Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and this mortal must put on immortality." We also know, dear brethren, that the glorified church is limited to 144,000, as written in the book of Revelation, chapter 14, verse 1. Let us look back over the creative works of the Heavenly Father and see what difference lies between the new creation and other creations. For instance, in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, we have recorded for us the beginning of God's creation. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him, and without Him wasn't anything made that was made." Yes, my dear brethren, the Logos was the precious Son carried out for the Heavenly Father, the creation of the angels of the heavenly elements of the stars, the moon, the sun, and such. And He did all this wonderful work for the Heavenly Father. And He did all this creation of the vegetation, the fowls, the animals, the fish, and so on were created until the Heavenly Father said, let the man make no more, let us make man our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the cattle, and cover all the earth. In Genesis, the first chapter, 26th verse. Yes, we can see many things of these creative works. Consider, for instance, brethren, the lovely flowers, the trees, the great variety of animals, and the lovely mountains and valleys. And greatest of these, consider the human family. Though all these are far removed from perfection, all these creations can still appear as lovely to behold. And how thankful we are to know that in that beautiful kingdom, all things will be perfected and display again the glory of our Heavenly Father. We are privileged to know that our Heavenly Father, the God of the universe, will restore the human family and other things that were created for man's earthly existence. Though some nominal systems teach that it is man's desire to become an angel and that they must strive for this, if not, they will be cast into the horrible pit of eternal torture. And that's nominal systems teachings. We know that all God's creatures are subject to experiences that will prove their worthiness to gain everlasting life. We recall how the perfect Adam and Eve were tested. But they had chosen the way of the adversary, Satan. We know that before the being became the reality, before this being became the wily evil one, he was a beautiful creation. But his pride got in the way, and he chose to follow his own ways, and in God's due time, Satan and those angels who chose to follow him will be destroyed. Our loving Heavenly Father has so graciously proposed to choose 144,000 from a human family to share the heavenly blessings. Now, we read those words, and I would like to try to get the depth of this, what meaning, into your heart. This also will be the reality because that dear Lord, Logos, who created the universe and all things in it, willingly gave up that heavenly existence and was born flesh. This dear Son of God was not forced to leave his heavenly home, but he told the Heavenly Father, here am I, send me. That's in Isaiah the 6th chapter, verse 8. And we recall that Jesus was born a Jew, was subject to the law. He was subject to temptation from Satan and the members of the human family who did not succumb to their ways. In John, 1st chapter, verse 11, he came to his own and his own received him not. What did the Jewish people charge Jesus with? They boldly stated that Jesus did not follow the traditions of the Jewish law. Our dear Lord was to proclaim the blessed tidings that would eventually come not only to the Jews, but to all the human family. By so doing, Jesus was condemned by the Jewish leaders, even though he kept the law perfectly, even nailing it to the cross, so to speak. He further states, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, and then doth rather her brood under his wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Though the nation lost its a great blessed opportunity to know that the Heavenly Father and our Lord will care for them, and in due time will bless them with all the people of the earth. And you know, with the death of our Lord Jesus, the law was finished. And in due time, a new day would bring a release from sin and death for all mankind, because it didn't bring the release. Also, by the death and resurrection of Jesus to the plane of immortality, he opened a way for a little flock, the way for 144,000 to walk in the narrow way of suffering. The Heavenly Father proposed that these 144,000, the little flock, who must and will prove their worthiness to gain such a blessing, must have trials and sufferings, even as did Jesus. One might ask, must one be so thoroughly tested to gain the victory? My dear brethren, because the gift of mortality is so grand, it means a death-proof condition. Death-proof, yes, a having life within oneself. And you know, before this, nobody, save our Lord Jesus, had life within himself. If God worked otherwise and gave one immortality first and then tested one's character, there would be many blemishes that would mar the otherwise perfect being. Yes, dear brethren, they would transgress the laws, and this would not be pleasing to God. From the beginning of creation, God knew that man would take a wrongful path, and that God did not cause man to fall into a sinful path. It was Adam and Eve's doing. And in due time, he would send a Redeemer who willingly made the choice to do so. How thankful we are that the Logos gave up his heavenly nature and was willing to be born a human being. Now, I don't know if you've ever worked that thought up in your mind. He was a spiritual being, and he gave that up to become a human being. And when you think of that, he was in heaven with the Heavenly Father and gave that up and came to the earth as a human. And when you would put that in your own heart, in your own mind, and compare your life, how would you have reacted? God did not cause man to fall into a sinful path. It was Adam and Eve. How thankful we are that the Logos gave up his heavenly nature and was willing to be born a human being. Willingly. As we stated before, he endured so much pain and suffering, but he did not yield to these ailments. He gladly gave his perfect life for you, for me, and for all the human race. I don't know how many times in your life you might have thought about that. Thought about our Lord Jesus when he was an angel, God's first creation in heaven. He was an angel and sat down at the right hand of God. And he gave that up to come to the earth to redeem you and me and all the human family. When you think about that, how much the Heavenly Father loved us. You know, if one truly accepts his ransom and takes this step of justification, that is, truly believing that his shed blood paid the price for Adam's sin, one is following the path that leads to life. And after accepting the ransom price, one should see the need to make a full consecration to the Lord. Consecration, I believe, is but the opening of the door that gives us standing before God. Now, I don't know how you felt when you became consecrated in symbol, and how you felt at that particular time. But the words that I just said is the way my heart felt. It was the opening of the door that gives us a standing before God. We now are not recognized as human beings, brethren, but embryo new creatures. How often have you thought about that? You are a human being. It's only natural you should think that way. But you are no longer a human being in the sight of God if you have offered your life in sacrifice. You're being embroiled or new creatures. We now can understand the plans and purposes of the Heavenly Father. Before this, you could not possibly understand the plans and purposes that the Heavenly Father had until you became an embryo new creature. That's because when you became that embryo new creature, that's when the Holy Spirit of the Heavenly Father began to enlighten your mind, your heart, and your life. We now can understand the plans and purposes of the Heavenly Father. We now must daily strive to cultivate the fruits of the Spirit, and those fruits that is love, patience, humility, forgiveness, and so forth. Walking in a narrow way will give us encouragement as we gain knowledge of His precious promises. If our hearts strive to be pure and holy, the Holy Spirit will help us in our walk in a narrow way, which will lead to life. As a new creature, daily you must strive to put off the old man with the desires and wants. Our walk in a narrow way is as babies in Christ. Now, we all know what it is to be babies, what it is in our own life, and how we see babies today. We know that with a natural baby, the growing processes day by day until one reaches maturity. One's walk in the narrow way must have the knowledge of the plan of His plans and purposes. It is not our strength that will keep us from falling, but it is the strength of our Savior and our Heavenly Father. Daily, one must be willing to sacrifice earthly hopes and interests. Though one must work to have the necessities of life, one must be available for study and to meet with others of the precious faith when possible. We can give out a message of hope to the human family when possible. With all the distress, natural storms that bring destruction to so many, lack of work, robberies, wars, and so forth, there seems to be more opportunities to say a few words concerning God's plan for mankind in due time. In our daily life, our daily living, as so many times it comes into our mind and into our hearts to preach the gospel to our neighbors, to our friends, that we hold up to this precious truth. Yes, my dear brethren, if our eyes of understanding have been opened to see the precious plan of God, not only for the little flock of 144,000, but for all the poor, groaning creation, we should strive to give out the message of hope for all the human family. This blessing will in that kingdom be for those who will live through the time of trouble, as well as all those who will be awakened from the grave. Yes, when a church is complete, the kingdom will rule in all, in an effect on the earth. Blessing then will flow through all the human family. What a glorious, blessed time there will be. For those who are now walking in their way, we must be loving and have patience and wait upon the Lord. True, my dear brethren, we have many trials and great sorrows. We know beyond a doubt that His precious promises are sure and true. These promises are like a sweet perfume. We know God does not change the world. His word is faithful and true. Though friends may depart from us and change their attitude toward us, God does not change. The familiar face that once greeted us may not be here anymore, but our loving God is ever the same for each of us. Our Heavenly Father will give us the strength we each will need to deal with the trials and experiences of life. And what a glorious prospect lies before us as we strive to serve Him faithfully each hour, each day. May each of us continue to serve Him from time to time and to put our trust in Him. In my conclusion, all things will work to good for those who truly love His ways and His precious plan. And may God continue to abide with each of us in our efforts to serve and to walk faithfully in the truth. You isn't going to find anything more valuable in all this earth than the Word of God and His truth and His divine plan. Remember, we are striving to be new creatures. We're not new creatures now, yet. You can only strive to be it. You will be a new creature when you're changed into a new creature. We're striving to keep our life, our earthly life, in harmony with the plans and purposes that the Heavenly Father has ordained for us, that we may walk in the footsteps of His Son, Christ Jesus, who gave His life as our ransom and our Redeemer. And we can look to Him and be covered by His robe of righteousness. The Lord has been gracious to us, dear brethren, in the truth. And I learned the truth from my mother's knee as a baby. And that's over 80 years ago. And Mother taught us, and Dad taught us, and showed us the Word of God and the Bible, and the truth, the plan, the footstep followers of Jesus, and the things that we do daily, are they in harmony, and do they reflect our Messiah, our Lord, our Jesus, that we keep our life in harmony with the plans and purposes of our Heavenly Father. If we do that, we cannot fall. We cannot fall. And my mother and father both died in full faith, and my brothers and sisters kept the faith of the Heavenly Father, and so many of our brethren who have kept the faith obediently, lovingly. And my prayer for you every day is that the Lord continue to bless you as you walk in this narrow way. He will never leave you nor forsake you, as long as you do not leave Him or forsake Him. His truth is so beautiful. It's so uplifting. It's so joyful to be able to come to the throne of the heavenly grace and thank the Heavenly Father, the Creator of all things, for His mercy and His love and His truth. And it's my prayer for all of you, dear brethren, that the Lord continue to keep you under His robe of righteousness, that the truth continue to guide your path, that the things you do daily are motivated and controlled by the love and mercy and under the robe of the righteousness of our Savior, Christ Jesus. You know, I personally feel, this is only my personal feeling, that the kingdom is not that far away. We've lived, and I've lived in the truth 86 years, and the truth has got more blessed every year of my life. And I'm sure you feel the same way. And the truth will gain victory. And I was all, I was of the opinion, the person that have died, and they're going to be resurrected, and I have my mother and father and my son in the grave, and I always thought, well, I'll go over there and stand by the grave, and maybe the resurrection will take place right there. And my mother will come there, and my brothers and my sisters and my baby will come to me right there. But that's not the way it is. It's not the way it is. I'm not telling the Lord how to do His plan. He's telling us His plan. But I know that they will come forth out of the grave. And they will not be, when they come out of the grave, they will not be new creatures. They will be new human beings. Unless they have changed from a human being to a spiritual being, then that change would have to take place. So once they're changed into spiritual beings, where are they? They're not in the grave. They're not in the cemetery. So they're in the spiritual atmosphere of the Heavenly Father. They are His children. They become the children of the Heavenly Father. And they are with Him as spiritual beings. And so, my dear brethren, may the Lord continue to bless you. It's been a privilege to be here at this convention and to fellowship with all of you, and pray that the Lord continue to keep you in His under the robe of His righteousness, and you hold fast to the truth that He has given to you in your heart, and keep you strong and faithful in the Word of God, and He will see you into salvation. May the Lord add His blessings to all of you. Amen.